Good morning, everyone. If you would like to turn with me to Psalm 118, Psalm 118, everyone in Kingsport sends their love to you. Greetings from the saints in Kingsport. Hannah and I sincerely want to thank you for having us here. We had such a wonderful day yesterday. We really did. Traveling out here was good, and such a wonderful day with Eric and Michelle, and they took us all over your city, and it's literally all over, everywhere. We went everywhere, and it's beautiful, and I've looked forward to being here. I really have, and I'm just so thankful to be here with you. I've looked forward to worshiping with you, and I'm so glad to be here right now. I pray the Lord will let us worship. That's what I deeply desire. I am thankful for the cause of us being together. If it was not for one particular cause, none of us would be together right now, right? There's one reason why we are all here right now. And I'm so thankful for that reason. I am so thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful to know the gospel. I really am. I'm so thankful for this privilege of declaring the gospel and to be counted among God's people. What a privilege it is. What a privilege to be counted among God's people. Some of us were talking last night about this very thing, thinking, why would God have mercy on us? Why would He choose to do this for us? Why would He choose us? Of all people, I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful for this hope of glory. We have a hope of glory. Some people do not have that hope. Some people have this life only. That's it. They have this life only, then they're going to leave this life only, and that's it. We have a hope of glory. If we really stop and think about it, I believe that ought to be the emotion that overwhelms a child of God more than any other emotion that we have. Thankfulness. I believe it should be. Thankfulness. God's people have sorrow. You know, you see a lot of times, especially in false religion, everybody's just going around just on cloud nine all the time. You know, nothing's going to get me down. Well, that's not the case for God's people. God's people have sorrow. God's people have fear. They do. God's people experience joy, peace, love. I wouldn't want to be without any of those emotions, none of them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what the Scripture says. The fear of this Lord. The Scripture says we weep with those who weep, and we do. We hear about the things that our brethren have to go through, and we just sorrow with them. We sorrow with them. We weep with our brethren who weep. I sure would not want to be without joy, without peace, without love. I wouldn't want to be without any of those things. But every one of those emotions that a believer experiences can be and should be and is tempered by thankfulness. Every one of those emotions. Even in deep sorrow, we can still be thankful. And you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You've experienced it. Even in deep, deep sorrow, going through something that's just bringing absolute, utter sorrow, even in that moment, God's people can still be thankful. I've got a little story here that supports that and is proof of that. But Back in 1920, a man named Josh Gravett and a man named A.D. Muse. And A.D. Muse was one of the men that Brother Henry had preached in his first Sovereign Grace Conference in 1954. But 34 years before that, in 1920, these two gospel preachers were traveling home from a meeting in a Model T Ford, and the front tire blew out, and that car flipped end over end a few times, and Josh Gravett was thrown from the car, and the car ended up upside down on its top. And A.D. Muse realized, you know, he was all beat up, but he realized Josh is not in the car. And so he crawled out the window and hollered for Josh, and he heard Josh moan in the weeds, so he crawled over to Josh, and he said, "Josh, are you hurt?" And he put his arm around him, and Josh Gravett laid there for a second, and he said, "Archie, God is sovereign, and we'll be thankful." And he was known for that statement. He said that all the time. And even in that moment, he said, "God is sovereign, and we'll be thankful." If we could just learn that, if I could just learn that, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God is absolutely sovereign. He's not trying to do anything. He doesn't hope to do anything. He's absolutely sovereign. And in whatever His sovereign will is, and whatever His sovereign purpose is, and whatever His sovereign doing is, may He give me a heart to be thankful. Thankful in it. He said, even in this, we can still be thankful. Well, because Psalm 92 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And because Colossians 3 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And I pray that might happen. The peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And because 1 Thessalonians 5 says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Because it's so good and it's so pleasant and it's so right for a child of God to give thanks. Because of that, I have five reasons for us to give thanks this morning. All right, that's going to be our outline. Five reasons for a child of God to give thanks. We have an infinite number of reasons. We will spend eternity giving thanks, giving thanks, giving thanks. But for this Bible study, just to keep it within our time frame here, we'll focus on five. We're just going to study the Bible. We're going to study the Bible in this Bible study, all right? Five reasons to give thanks. Here's the first one. Look with me here at Psalm 118, verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." He is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. He is gracious. He is good. Now let's see if we can enter into this. There is a sovereign over us. There is a sovereign over us who is in absolute control of us. And He can do with us whatever He's pleased to do with us. We are completely at the mercy of how He treats us. All right, let me say that again, and let me see if we can really enter into this. We are completely at the mercy of how He treats us. There's a sovereign over us, and He can do with us whatever He wants to do with us. And we are completely at the mercy of how He treats us. We are at the mercy of His will. We have no say in our harm or our well-being. And that's what Josh Gravett meant when he said, even in this, God is sovereign, we'll be thankful. We have no say in our harm or our well-being. We are at the mercy of a higher and a greater than us, okay? Thank God, the one that we are in the hands of is not our adversary. Thank God. The adversary who is stronger than us, he is stronger than us. I hear people so foolishly talk about the adversary flippantly. Well, I'm going to tell him, and he'd better not. Don't do that. He is stronger than us. He can do with us whatever God lets him do with us. Ask Job. He only means evil for us. That's all he means for us, is evil. He only means harm to us. He is only trying to work everything that he can work to bring us into bondage and condemnation. That's all he's doing. Thank God, the adversary is in the hands of the same God we are in the hands of. The God who came to this earth, the Scripture says, to bring good tidings of good. Isn't that good news? Thank God, our sovereign God. Thank God, the Almighty. We talk about the Almighty. Thank God, the Almighty is good. Thank God. He's good. The Scripture says, he went about doing good. Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good. We have such reason to give thanks for that. Such reason. Hold your place right here and look with me at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, verse 32, it says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Is that not reason to give thanks? We're going to have a little run here, okay? We're going to look at some scriptures here. All right, go to Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's what he does because that's what he is. That's what he is. A good work from a good Lord. Look at Philippians 2. Verse 13, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure. So that's the first reason that we have to be thankful. The Lord, who is our God and has sovereignly ordered everything concerning us, is good. He's good. He is so good to us. He's so kind to us. He has worked all things together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's good news. Go back to Psalm 118. Here's the second reason. Psalm 118, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because," here's the reason why, "because His mercy endureth forever." Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. God's people are all brought to a place where they see their need for mercy, and they thank God for it. Thank God for mercy. Verse 2 says, "Let Israel," God's chosen people, "now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever." Let everybody say, His mercy endures forever. Every soul that has seen His mercy. In Psalm 51, David said, "Have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me." What does that mean? What does that mean? We talk about mercy. Have mercy upon me. What is David asking? What are we asking? What are all of God's people asking? This is what he said there. He said, "According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." That's what he was asking. Blot out my transgressions. That means cover my sin in your blood. They used to take hyssop and they dip it in the blood of the sacrifice. Sprinkle it on the mercy seat. Blot out my sins. Cover my sins in your blood. That's what it means. As a figure of speech, you know, we say, "Can you believe that?" We say that, "Can you believe that? Can you believe He did that?" Well, can we? Can we? Has the Spirit of God given us faith to believe that? Truly believe that and rest in that? That Christ has covered our sin in His own blood. Men and women worry about their sin. They want to be baptized. A man told Brother Tom Harding one time, "I want you to baptize me, but I don't want to be baptized in a baptistry. I want to be baptized in a river." Because he said, "I want my sins to float on downstream and be washed away." And he said that. Tom said, "That's not how it works." But honestly, men and women are worried about their sin. I know I'm a sinner, and you know you're a sinner. And until God reveals mercy in the blood of Jesus Christ, they wonder, what about this sin? What about this sin? God, by His goodness, because God is good, and in the goodness of His Spirit, He brings faith, He speaks to the heart, He causes them to see what Christ did on the cross, what Christ accomplished on the cross, what that means. And He speaks peace to the heart. And that sinner rests in the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy that is in Christ. That sinner rests thinking, my sin has been covered in His blood. Washed in His blood. I pray God reveals that to us. I pray He truly will. Every sinner who has that revealed to him or her will be thankful for it. Every sinner. Hold your place here again and go to Colossians 2. This is what it means to receive this mercy from the Lord. Colossians 2. Ephesians 2 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us together with Christ." All right, this is what that means. Colossians 2, verse 13, it says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh," That means you were an outcast, you were a heathen. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. That means everything that the law had against us. The law said, sin against me, recorded. Sin against me, recorded. That blood blotted out everything that the law had against us. Verse 14 says, which was contrary to us. Christ took it out of the way. How? Nailing it to His cross. I love that. Nailing it to His cross. Verse 15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. And these last two words, if your Bible has a center margin, I don't know if it does or not, but the first time my eyes glanced over to the center margin, I have a little three right there next to mine. But those two words translate in Himself. In it translates in Himself. He made an open show, triumphing over the sins of His people in Himself. He did that in Himself. That was His mercy to us. And it is a real reason to be thankful. It's a real reason to be thankful. We are so thankful because the Lord is good. We're so thankful because His mercy endures forever. All right, reason number three. Go with me back to the Psalms. This time go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 62. It says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee, because of Thy righteous judgments. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. He said, I'll be thankful because You are holy. That's why I'll be thankful. It's because You're holy. Our God is holy. And this is what that means. It means He can only do what's right. He can only do what's right. We just had a conversation in the car on the way over here about this. I was telling him about me getting pulled over. And the police officer, in his own kindness and his own mercy, gave me a warning and let me go. And I was telling Eric, that was an unjust judgment. I was wrong. And justice was not served. But men and women see that in the flesh as being goodness and mercy. And they think that's what God's going to do to sinners. God's going to say, you know what, I tell you what, we're going to let that one slide. Don't do it again. But we're just going to let that slide. That is not goodness and mercy. That's injustice. And a God who does that is an unholy God. But our God is holy. And He must punish sin. And my sin was not swept under the rug and let go. My sin was punished and condemned and damned in Jesus Christ when He nailed it to His cross. And I thank God for that. Because if He said, I tell you what, I'm going to turn a blind eye to your sin. What about next time? I'm about to sin. What about next time? But God is holy. And He must justly deal with sin. And that's exactly what God did in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His righteous judgment is His holiness. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Holiness is spotlessness. It's purity within. It's sanctification within. Therefore, He will only do what's just and right and pure without. Righteous judgments. He ordered everything concerning us, and none of it is wrong. And I love that. He ordered everything concerning us, and none of it is wrong. None of it is wrong. All these things that happen to us, and we think, why? One of these days we will know as we have been known, and we'll understand, and we'll see it was all right. None of it was wrong. None of it. Everything that's happening is for the purpose, for God's people, is for the purpose of bringing goodness, mercy, and perfection to them. And in that we give thanks. We give so much thanks. All right, reason number four. I'm going to be quick here. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. It says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We thank God for electing a people. We thank God for choosing to call a particular people, a particular brethren, to Himself. Election is the sweetest thing that could ever be declared. It's the sweetest thing that a child of God could ever know. People who have not had their eyes and their hearts open to God's election see it as a harsh thing. They see it as an excluding. You know, I've chosen this particular people and you're not included. That's not how it works. If it weren't for God's election, no one would be included. If it were not for God's election, every soul would be eternally damned. But God, who is rich in mercy and rich in goodness, chose to spare some who wanted nothing to do with Him. Nothing to do with Him. Who would not come to Him. Did not desire Him. God, in His goodness, in His mercy, He chose to, in spite of His people, save them from what they were. He chose to gather a group of people to call brethren. Brethren who can live together and dwell together and fellowship together in one heart. All of God's people share one heart. One mind. The Scripture calls it the mind of Christ. What does that mean? That means everything they think is Christ. What do you think about? Here's my answer. Christ. Christ. Christ is the answer. Christ is all. That's the mind of Christ. One heart, one mind. There's one Spirit. One body. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. I thank God for you. We thank God for being good to us. We thank God for being merciful to us. We thank God for making all of our wrong right. We thank God for bringing us together. Thank God He chose us and saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Thank God He has a particular people and He's made us to be a part of them. Thank God. All right, one more. One more for today. Our fifth reason. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verse 15. It says, And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. They said, we give thee thanks because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. O Lord God Almighty, we give thanks because he is who he is. We give thanks because he has done what he has done. We give thanks because he has done it for whom he has done it for. Sinners. Sinners. We give thanks because he has reigned. We give thanks because every promise that he's made to us, he is able to perform it, and he gets all the credit for it, and he gets all the glory for it. We give thanks for the fact that he gets all the glory for everything. Don't we give thanks for that? May all the glory be unto him. He's been good to us. He's been merciful to us. He has done right with us. He chose us. And he sovereignly reigned over us. And because of that, we're thankful. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, because his mercy endures forever. Amen.